Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Impacted Podcast by A-Leaf ISD. My name is Amanda Mateer, and I have the pleasure of being your host today. What we're going to be doing is talking about a hot topic, and that's STEM and innovation and how it creates opportunities for academic advancement for our students, and then also to help them for future careers in STEM. With me today, to add to this robust conversation, I have to my right, Dr. Colina Poulard, principal of Ollie Middle School, where the new school of choice, SIGGO Innovation Academy, is being held. How are you this morning?
I am amazing. I'm amazing and excited.
Awesome. And then next to her, we have Dr. Karen Jacobs, who is our secondary science coordinator. Good morning.
Good morning.
And then last but certainly not least, we have the principal of Horn Elementary, Miss Mary Starling. How
Good
are you?
Good morning. Just great. I'm excited to talk.
All righty. So as we're talking about STEM innovation, we're doing school redesigns in A-Leaf. What are some of the most significant benefits that our students are going to have because they have been exposed to STEM in their schools?
21st century skills. Having our kids be able to be creative, collaborative, being able to build in their curiosity in order to answer questions and challenges, and be able to flex and be in any type of endeavor to so pursue.
Yeah, that's going to be, to piggyback off of that, one of the big things that I'm really excited about is the ability for our kids to have those core subjects all day. They can go from math, science, social studies, English, and they could be working on the same thing using that innovation and creativity. They're going to be able to have so much fun at school again. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be amazing to see all of the things that they're going to be able to bring out of being able to be part of that STEM program.
I love that.
I'll piggyback off of you, yes. Which is, you know, typical school is you sit and you get, even though we have many, many new ways to teach all of our content. I feel like STEM is going to show talent and creativity from our students that we wouldn't see regularly because of the kind of the planning and the preparation for all those pieces that you would need to make it as hands-on as possible, as innovative as possible.
Right. Sometimes we're kind of limited mm-hmm. on what we can do. Mm-hmm. And the kids don't get an opportunity to showcase yeah. all of the brightness that they yeah. have inside of them. So I think this is going to be a great opportunity mm-hmm. for them.
Speaking of limitations, we talk about the different challenges that our students have to face. How is STEM helping them overcome those challenges? Like, is it being exposed to different things? Is it lowering a barrier in different places? How can STEM kind of support with those challenges?
I think that with a mindset to teach and with a STEM mindset, with those STEM skills from the teacher point of view, that they remove those barriers for the students. Once you realize that you don't have to just have them fill out a worksheet or, you know, read this passage or, and even in science, I know there's experiments and there's a whole process to that, but STEM is way beyond science as well. So I think that the barriers that are there aren't there if you come in with the right mindset.
And it's about enrichment, experiences mm-hmm. and exposure, because we can learn the content, right? Mm-hmm. We have the teaks, we have to follow the flow. However, when you can connect it to something out in the real world mm-hmm. that it makes meaning, the whole point of school is to make meaning and experiences that you can take for a lifetime. So that's what we want to do here in A-Leaf.
Yeah.
And our students are going to be able to do that so much more because of the attitude that our teachers are learning to take. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a little bit different too, because mm-hmm. our teachers are not just, like we talked about, the sit and get. That's not going to be the case anymore. It can't be. Yeah. The teacher has to be the facilitator of that learning. They have to be the engineer driving that, but the student is going to take full charge. They're going to mm-hmm. say, you know what, I'd like to do this, and they can have opportunity to talk and collaborate with their teacher rather than just saying, okay, you gave me this, I'm going to do it, and it'd be done. No, they're going to say, you know what, I think I should try this, and the teacher says, you know what, yeah, let's try that.
Absolutely.
And see what, you know, comes out of it.
And through this process, through this redesign at my campus and, you know, enriching your campus is the connection with SITGO and other businesses that we can bring in or go to that show where all the things they're learning, because I even heard it this week, when am I going to use this? And it was for a rectangle, you know, something small. Yeah. But if you're able to bring in those resources and connect them to what's outside of their very small living circumstances, then I think that's just makes them excited to come to school every day.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the teachers do. Mm-hmm.
So speaking of that, we're talking about, well, one thing, teacher preparation, right? As we're talking about school redesigns and our students learning differently, how are we being cutting edge, I should say, or how, what are we doing that's a cut above to support our teachers being able to actually help our students in the classroom? How is the training different?
I think some of what is about to happen with my campus is we are going to be nationally certified. Mm-hmm. So they're going to get those skills that other people are seeing. They are going to get the, you know, top tier, and they're going to bring that back and make sure. So the things that they've looked at, learned about, what they're seeing right now, even though they think that some of those things are working, it can always be better. So I think that being nationally certified, taking mm-hmm. that hint from other teachers, other people who are doing it bigger, who are doing it better, mm-hmm. right. and learning from them, I think that's going to, you know, really boost up a lot of our teacher skills.
Yeah. I also think STEM fluency brings a big portion of that with the teacher training. In fact, having the teachers play the role of the students and actually even delivering the products. So where they have the STEM showcases, they mm-hmm. do the lesson, they build a STEM showcase, and they then critique one another and kind of say, from the perspective of a student, what could drive the learning even further? Mm-hmm. Because we're all about, you know, what can we do better? So we like to build, and then we like to elevate Absolutely. Our lessons each and every day.
For sure. And what I'm thinking is, with our teachers, we get the same thing as we're going to get with our students, which is finding their creativity and their skills. And I think a huge part of this is going to be finding, building, and creating leaders, because you have to have more leaders creating that STEM fluency and creating that mindset. If it's just your science specialist, or I'm going to have a STEM coordinator or something like that, then that's not enough. It has to be across all contents. It has to be across all grade levels in order to really fully implement.
Speaking of, as you're talking about just being cross-curricular mm-hmm. and transdisciplinary with STEM, can you give your definition, if you will, of what STEM is? Because there's a lot of misconceptions. People mm-hmm. think that we're talking about being astrophysicists and they have yeah. to like strictly be just science fields. But can you guys kind of expound on what you believe STEM is, you know, for your campus and, you know, just your connection to it?
Yeah. It's really learning in a different way, like we were talking about in the beginning. It's much more hands-on, creating things, and it's the way you process the information. Like, how is it being input, and what's the output? And you really are able to, I think, fully understand a student's mastery of a topic or of a TEK if they're able to show something outside of filling out a worksheet, doing a test, you know. Even there's plenty of things we already do that are hands-on, mm-hmm. but it's with the mindset of what is this hands-on item or task connected to the outcome that you're wanting or the mastery level that you're wanting. And so I think that's a little bit of a difference. And then of course, I just think it's important to emphasize our teachers' worth.
Absolutely.
And our teachers have a lot of skills and creativity, and they can give that to our students. And that all of that will take our students out of the circumstances that they're in into the world around them. And I think that's really important.
And to kind of piggyback off of you, I really like the idea of talking about STEM as a mindset, because mm-hmm. we always think about the acronyms science, technology, mm-hmm. engineering, and math. And honestly, it bleeds into social studies. Mm-hmm. It bleeds into the arts. It bleeds into ELA mm-hmm. because we want our kids to be scientifically literate in the society. And it's kind of like what you were saying. It's about taking the lessons that we learn in class, turn it into a problem for kids to solve.
Right. Absolutely.
Imagine your teacher brings in a problem to solve, and then you work your way through your lesson and then mm-hmm. tie that into the real world. To me, that's what STEM is. It's like taking what I know, building something better, but yet I'm also making a social and economic impact mm-hmm. along the way.
Yes.
Because of the experience and the exposure.
Yeah.
Because we have given the kid a problem or an issue or whatever it is, and they come up with something new, bright, intuitive, you know, and like they've built this whole thing around it. And it is really looking at how much further they can take that and where they're going to be able to bring that. Like, look at where we're sitting right now. Like, imagine a kid being able to get those skills from elementary, intermediate, middle school, and then say, you know what? I've taken all of this. I've learned all of these things.
Right.
And now I can come and bring that to a campus that is going to let me fly free. Like, we talked about that when we walked in. Like, the kids, they're not held back. They're able to just go and do things. And there's no, we're not talking about discipline. We're not talking about problems because they come here because they've enjoyed it. Imagine the foundation we will have built because of that, right?
And
where they're going to get to go and the things that they're going to get to experience because of it. It's going to be amazing.
That's powerful. I like that we keep going and we keep hearing the theme experience and we keep talking about exposure. In your own like personal journey, how would it be different if you were exposed to STEM at a younger age? Like, what if school 20, 30 years ago, depending on some, it's like, it's been a while, right? How would it have been different? Because I remember when I was in high school, the first time I was actually exposed to a makerspace was maybe when I was in the 11th grade. And so it really wasn't catching like it was supposed to back then. And then you fast forward and then you have other community colleges that are now getting makerspaces and supporting this new era of education, if you will. How would your life be different, you know, if you were exposed and had that experience earlier?
Well, my back then did not have makerspace. We had snack time in the morning. You know, we got to walk and get our milk. That was the most exciting thing, I think, than size makerspace. I think that, you know, both my parents were teachers. So it's not that they expected me to follow their path because my brothers didn't do that. But I think that I would have seen what my skills could have taken me and other options that were out there, I believe. I always did want to be a teacher, so I don't know if it would have changed that, but it still would have opened up the ways to get to those other things that I thought about, but wasn't sure how to get to. So
the situation for me, when I think about STEM, I don't necessarily think that I didn't have it because I think about my home economics class. I still use the skills that she taught me. And, you know, and so I felt like she did do those things. And that was STEM because it was experience and it was exposure to real life. And I still cook the monkey bread. I still do the cheesecake. Like, I still do those kinds of things. I learned to sew. I learned to do those things. But what gets me is if I had the other parts of my teachers who let me bring my hands and my mind and my creativity into what I do, I'm pretty sure I would have learned algebra a lot faster than I did. But I think that's what also drove me to be a person who taught, you know, career and technology, who was, you know, this was a kind of what my classroom looked like. But then I was able to expose my kids to being able to experience things on their own and, you know, being a really good facilitator. And I think that that's one good thing that I'm able to bring to the table is that I've experienced it. And now these are the things that I want from my teachers to experience too. Like, come on, you, whatever you have, that experience that you currently have and that you've had, try to bring that in for your students. Try to see if there's something that you can let them kind of be free on and see what they discover.
Go beyond compliance of just writing
Go
up your lesson plans.
Go beyond compliance. That's amazing.
I think the amazing part is when I go back and think about my own personal past was kind of looking at what I did in US in, I think, eighth grade history. It's so weird. So we had a teacher that pretty much gave us opportunities to kind of say, okay, look, she kind of stratified us by, you know, different levels. And then she's like, okay, so you guys are going to build the next lessons. And what can you bring in to make this lesson more enriching? That to me was powerful because I think what that did for me was build a level of curiosity that I now take into what I do as a science coordinator with my teachers, because you want to have them use their creativity and curiosity in making that lesson real for them. as in making the lesson real for the kids. So you want them to see, to be part of it and really making a big difference. So we want to make all lessons apply to kids like that. How can I take what I learned today to do something tomorrow in a very unique yet curious way?
All right. I have one last question. And that is, when we're talking about STEM in real life applications, in the real world, what's to come next for STEM in ALEAF? What are we doing next? What are you guys looking forward to for the next school year or in the coming months?
I love having this podcast because it means that more people know about what you and I are doing. Mm-hmm. Because so far, it's been a small pocket of people. And I think it's exciting that whatever we begin or continue, other campuses can grasp onto some of those pieces, because ALEAF is very small. There's lots of connections all over ALEAF. Our students move around quite a bit. And if they were able to have the same type of mindset at their next campus, possibly, or even once they move up to intermediate, middle, high school. And then the other thing that is so important to me is the ability for the families to understand what is available for not only their students, but for them. I'm very excited about that. I'm very excited about bringing the families into the understanding of there's a lot more that your child is capable of doing than staying right here.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think one of the things that I'm really excited about is a relaunch. So we are relaunching at Ollie Middle School. So we've had the STEM program, but what everyone had been accustomed to, the kinds of things that we were doing, is going to be shattered. So what they think that they know or what they've known, they've not seen anything. You've not seen anything yet. We are going to wow you, and we cannot wait to have your kids with us and show you all the great things that we're going to be bringing forward. Your kids are going to rock it.
Yeah.
They're going to soar when they are at Ollie Middle School.
And Ollie kids are my kids, because that's our feeder pattern. So, yes, very excited.
And it's all encompassing with Science Fair. Yeah. I know. We're heading over to the regional Science Fair coming up, and hopefully we have a few state contenders. That's coming up. And then I think another big piece of it, we've also been working with some high schools and getting some girls in STEM with the Youth Enterprise in Women, where we have some girls going on to Nashville, Tennessee, to go and look at, you know, women empowerment and what they're doing in their STEM fields. And now they're CEOs. So we want our girls to say what they learned, not only in elementary and middle school, but what can I do this to make a lifetime of a wealth for myself and enrich my family in this local community as well.
Well, ladies, thank you guys so much for joining us today on this episode. We are excited to see what moves forward. You heard it here. It happens in STEM. We're making sure we're fostering curiosity. We're preparing our teachers to be facilitators in STEM. And we cannot wait to see what happens next. Until next time, thank you so much, ALEAF family.
This has been an AMP production.